Hare Krishna. So today we continue our study of Srimad Bhagavatam, focusing on the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Our focus is on chapter 1 of canto 5 and specifically verse number 31. Canto 5, chapter 1, text 31. Now the text is a little bit different from the usual, so therefore I am not sure how we are going to chant, so I am going to read word by word and then you may also do so. Apray.
Yeva uha tad ratha charanan nemi krita parikhataste sapta sindhava asan yata eva krita sapta bhuvo dripa.
ूहतचरणीकृतपरिकास्ते सप्त सिंधव आसन यत एव कृतः सप्त भुवो द्वीपाः.
ूहतचरणीकृतपरिखातस्ते सप्त सिंधव आसन यता एव कृता सप्त भुवो द्वीपा.
एवारुहः तत्र चरणनेमि कृता परिकृतास्ते सप्त सिंधव आसन यत एव कृता सप्त भुवो दीपा.
ये
दैट
वा उह
सर्टेन
तत् ऑफ हिज चैरियट चरण ऑफ द व्हील नेमि बाय द लिम्स कृत मेड
परिकात
ट्रेंचेस
ते
दोस सप्त
सप्त
सेवन
सिंधव
सिंधव
ओशियंस
आसन
आसन
यतः When Priyavrat drove his chariot behind the sun, the limbs of his chariot wheels created impressions that later became seven oceans, dividing the planetary system known as Bhumandala into seven islands. Sometimes the planets in outer space are called islands. We have experience of various types of islands in the ocean, and similarly the various planets divided into 14 lokas are islands in the ocean of space. As Priyavrat drove his chariot behind the sun, he created different types of oceans and planetary systems, which altogether are known as Bhumandala or Bhuloka. In the Gayatri Mantra, we chant Om Bhur Bhuvah Swah Tatsavitubharenyam. Above the Bhulok planetary system is Bhuvarloka, and above that is Swargaloka, the heavenly planetary system. All these planetary systems are controlled by Sarita, the sun god. By chanting the Gayatri mantra just after rising early in the morning, one worships the sun god.
ॐ अज्ञानभ्यादृश्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकरमयं ददाति स्वकरान्ति मुखां करोति वाचालं भुवनं गायते यत्र पातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदिनतारिणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद हरि अद्वैत हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय
कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय
नन्दनाय च चरणनेमीकृतपरिकाकास्ते सप्त सिन्धव आसन् यत एव कृताः सप्त भुवोद्वीपः When Priyavrata was chariot behind the sun, the rims of his chariot wheels created impressions that later became seven oceans dividing the planetary system known as Bhumandal into seven islands. So, this is a very beautiful chapter from Srimad Bhagavatam. Every chapter brings its own unique flavor in Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter is titled as the activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. It's very interesting, this chapter, especially because sometimes it gives us a reflection of our own lives as struggling, practicing devotees. Maharaj Prihavrat, he was very early in his life, he became detached from the entire material world. And then again, he became attached in a specific circumstance. He became attached to the world. He was compelled to come into the activities of the material world. And yet again, after coming back, again he gets detached. So detachment, attachment, again detachment. So Maharaj Parikshit is struck with wonder, what is this phenomenon? Getting detached first, then attached, and again getting detached. So this chapter has thus far explained how Priyavrata Maharaj originally had come in contact with Narad Muni, Jagat Guru, Narad Muni. And whoever comes in contact with Narad Muni, that person has to become detached. So, and obviously Maharaj Priyavrata also became detached and extremely transcendental in his outlook. Then, given that, then how was he deviated? After such an association of Narad Muni, how did he come back into the material world and accept Grahastakram? So, how was he deviated from the material influence is a question that Sukhdev Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukhdev Goswami. So, in response to that, Sukhdev Goswami is narrating this, that how Maharaj Priyavrata his father was the great Swayambhu Manu, So this whole Sukadeva Goswami is explaining that this whole arrangement was nothing but a pastime of the Lord. Though Maharaj Priyavrat was sufficiently detached from the material world and he wanted to actually renounce everything very early in his life, one fine day Lord Brahma came carrying a message of Vishnu Narayan, and he explained to him that I understand that you don't want to enter worldly activities, but more important than our desire as to how we want to serve the Lord is aligning with the Lord's desire, how He wants us to serve Him. So therefore, Lord Brahmaji very lovingly explains to Maharaj Priyavrat that do not be attached to a particular service, just be attached to the principle of serving and the principle of devotional service. So this is the big lesson that we get here. So if for the purpose of that service you have to take drasashram, you have to take drasashram, because that is how you will be able to align your activities according to the Lord's plan. Atha kumbhe dhrajashvesha dharnashrama vibhagashara so anushtishtasya dharmasya samasiddhi haritoshanam. The goal of varnashrama dharma is what? Samasiddhi haritoshanam. Ultimately, all varnas, all ashramas are meant to serve the Supreme Lord. So therefore, if we get too much attached to a particular varna or a particular ashram, forgetting the purpose of varnashrama dharma, then what have we gained by following the varnashrama dharma? So this is a very interesting section. And we also heard Bhaktivinoda Thakur singing, Grihe Thako Vane Thako Sada Hari Hari Bolita. Whether you are a grihastha or whether you are a vanapras, whoever you are, more important is that you are constantly chanting the names of Lord Hari. So, Brahmaji has now explained this to Priyavrat. Priyavrat has understood. So Priyavrat, as a very dutiful disciple as well as a dutiful son, because Manu's job is progeny, so he agrees. Okay, he says, okay, now I will come to this world. And Brahmaji gives him a very good instruction also. He says, the issue is never the ashram. The issue is whether the senses are under control. So when one is able to control one's senses, the tongue, the belly, the genitals, then it does not matter in which ashrama one is. And if one is not controlling his senses, then all ashramas are useless in that sense. Right? So Brahmaji is giving him that knowledge. So armed with all this, now Priyavrat Maharaj is completely convinced, and with that spiritual conviction, by knowledge, then he engages himself in Grihastha Ashram. He decides that he marries Barishmati, who is his good wife, and they have a daughter of Vishnu, who is the daughter of Vishwakarma. And through her, he begets 10 sons and 1 daughter. And he enters family life and he rules for thousands of years, like a Rajarishi. Another important point that comes in this section is Narad Muni was cultivating Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj is a Priyavrat. And Narad Muni was kind of goading him towards Brahmachari Ashram. But Brahmaji came and gave exactly the opposite direction. So this can happen in our lives also. As preachers, as people, when we cultivate others, it's quite possible we give them a particular direction based on our limited realization. But a higher authority can supersede whatever we have said and give a completely opposite direction to their life. And the lesson for all of us as preachers should be that we must be able to accept that. Accept that an authority can come and change our direction, because they are more realized than us. They know, they can see that which we cannot see as the supreme welfare of people who we are apparently trying to benefit. So Narayani never took any offense to this contrary instruction that Lord Brahmaji gave. So Narayani was standing with folded hands along with Maharaj Priyavrat. So it gives us a lesson on humility as well, on modesty. So not to get too attached to our services to the point that we start controlling the people who we are serving. So this is a very nice example here. So now Maharaj Parikshit, having taken the reins of the kingdom, is ruling the kingdom very righteously as a Rajarishi. And a duty of a Rajarishi is that he watches out for any discomfort to his members, his praja. Just like Lord Ramachandra, every day Lord Ramachandra used to walk in his kingdom and then see, ensure that every Everything is okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? So this is the quality of a compassionate, responsible leader of society. So, as a part of that, what do you call this? As a part of ensuring that everyone is okay, he goes and he realizes a unique problem which is given in, which was in yesterday's verse. He said that while so excellently ruling the universe, this is yesterday's verse, King Priyamrat once became dissatisfied with the circumambulation of the most powerful sun god. So he was not really happy with the way the sun god was designed to travel and give light. Encircling the Sumeru Hill on his chariot, the sun god illuminates all the surrounding planetary systems. However, when the sun is on the northern side of the hill, the south side receives light, and when the sun is in the south, the north receives less. King Priyamrat disliked this situation. And therefore, he decided to make daylight in the part of the universe where there was night. He followed the orbit of the sun god on a brilliant chariot and thus fulfilled his desire. He could perform such wonderful activities because of the power he had achieved by worshipping the Supreme Personality of God. That was yesterday's verse. And in today's verse, it is mentioned that he drove the chariot behind the sun, and as he was driving, the rims of his chariot were creating impressions of later became seven oceans, dividing the planetary system known as Bhoomandal into seven islands. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam deals with 10 subject matters. In our Bhakti Vaibhava, presently, which we are in our Bhakti Vaibhava class, we are discussing about this next subject, these 10 subject matters. This is in 2. The last chapter of the second canto. So, in that, we are discussing the 10 subject matters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, the 10 subject matters are Atras, Sarga, Visarga. Sarga, primary creation. Visarga, secondary creation by Lord Brahma. Sthanam, Poshanam, Utaya, Manvantara, Isha, Anukatha, Nirodho, Muktir, Ashrayaha. All these are the 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. And different sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam give more emphasis to these aspects. Therefore, some sections of Srimad Bhagavatam have become synonymous with some subject matters that the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with. Okay. So, specifically talking about the Canto 5 which we are currently discussing today. So, Canto 5 deals with Vedic cosmology. So, the second half of this particular canto is largely dealing with the subject matter of Sthanam. Sthanam means what? Positioning of the different living entities into this created material world. So, this is also, Sthanam also is, can be called as maintenance of the universe. Now, we were discussing in our Bhakti Vaibhava class also that creating something is definitely commendable and not so easy. Okay, destroying something, easy. Right, 1 second we can destroy, right? But maintaining something, oh my god, that is the most difficult part. And I was giving an example to the students on that day, devotee students, that even at workplace, corporations spend huge amount of budget on maintenance and support. Okay, so every year, okay, so recently I was also involved in contract negotiations with my client. And it has been going on since March, and it just culminated, you know, last week. And today we have some small vestiges of work that have to be completed, you know, to solemnize the contract. It starts from 1st of October. So, this contract is, because it is for, quite a bit of this contract is for maintenance, then we can see how much concerned corporations are about maintenance, you know, and the budgets for maintaining something. There's huge amount of investments, there's huge concern that if everything run, whatever we have designed, as per what, as per the design. For example, if employees have to be given payroll, for example. You have designed a state-of-the-art payroll system, but then always everyone is an anxiety, because even if one employee does not get paid, he can sue the employer. So therefore, maintenance is such a huge activity. But does every employee smile at the end of the day because they get their salary on time? Maybe at the time when the salary is decided, okay, you are going to get so much of salary. Oh, that's so nice. Can I get a little bit? Oh, sure, you'll get more. We'll give you $10,000. Go ahead. and the employee is very happy. But after a few months, what happens? Is the employee still dancing that I am getting a salary? No. He takes it for granted and he never thanks the corporation for giving salary on time till the time the salary is not come 1 month. Then they create a big ruckus. So this is the nature of maintenance. It is a thankless job. So in order to do such a thankless job, we need a person who is very powerful. Aishwaryasya samagrasya veeryasya shreyah jnana vairagyasya shanna bhagayena. At the same time, very very renounced and detached and humble. Who can that person be except Vishnu himself? So he takes the charge of this thankless maintenance job, which is sthanam that we are discussing. So now, as a part of the sthanam, Lord Vishnu has to ensure that everyone gets his due. Now, what is everyone's due? How can we define what is someone worthy of? There are two functions of this. One is desire of that person, because as a kind father, supreme father, he wants to fulfill the desire. But simply desire isn't enough. No, I want to desire, okay, to study PhD, I want to desire to be like, Prabhuji, scientist, who's who in the world, okay? But simply if I desire, will I become like that? No. It has to be backed up by tremendous amount of hard work, years of hard work and tapasya has to go in attaining that position. So therefore it is desire and merit, both are required. So therefore based on the desires and merits of different living entities, the Lord has created this entire material creation. Because the jiva desired to enjoy separately from Krishna. Now different jivas decided different ways of enjoying separately from the Lord. So therefore the Lord has to cater to all combinations of permutations, desires, merits. So then he is creating this entire cosmic, Vedic cosmology of the material world. And that is what this particular canto deals with. So in today's verse we see that through this pastime of Maharaj Priyavrat, so we see that he creates divisions in Bhumandal. Bhumandal is where we all are. Our planetary system is called as Bhumandal. And Prabhupada also mentions Om Bhu, Om Bhuvaha, Om Suvaha, Om Mahaha, Om Janaha, Om Tapaha, Om Satyam. And then the Gayatri Mantra goes on from there, right? So the Gayatri Mantra never says Om Patala, Om Kalatala. You will never hear that, okay? Though they are also heavenly planets, but they are subterranean heavenly planets. And the top, they are called as Bila Swarga, and the top are called as Ditya Swarga, the upper heavenly planets. Why? Why there is no Gayatri Mantra for lower planets? Because in the upper heavenly planets, also there is opulence. In the lower heavenly planets, there is no opulence. But in the upper heavenly planets, there is piety along with opulence. There is an opportunity still to go back to Godhead. Because we are dealing with devatas who are servants of the Lord, not asuras, okay, who are in the subterranean heavenly planets, right? So, therefore, here we see that the description of Bhumandal is given, how Maharaj Priyavrat is going about his job. So, essentially, Sukadeva Goswami is telling Maharaj Parikshit that the material energy of Lord Krishna is very difficult to describe. In other sections, he has been saying this. Now, Sukadeva Goswami says that even the spiritual world is ananta. It is anyway infinite. So there is no end to the glory of the spiritual world. But Sukadeva Goswami is saying even the material world is very difficult to describe. That is also like vishal and almost it's small, ananta with a small a. Like that. Okay, so he is saying this is also very difficult. Yet, I will try to describe it, though it is very difficult. I will describe to you all these planetary systems and the primary engagement that happens in these planetary systems. What is the intention of Sukadeva Goswami? Why is he deviating from this? When you have only 7 days to live, why do you want to know how many planetary systems are there and where is Jambu Dweep and this Dweep and that Dweep, which is where Mount Sumeru is in the center of the universe? How does it matter? Suppose we are told that we are going to die in 7 days, what are we going to do with this information, right? So therefore, it's like telling a person who wants to escape from the jail, sitting and educating him, saying that, okay, the jail, this is made of mild steel, this is made of cast iron, There are many rooms in this jail. There are many floors also above. You know, on top of that, the famous drug smuggler, he is sitting there. So he will say, you know, I am a man, I don't want to know all these things. Please tell me how to get out of this place. Show me where the place is. Right? But still, Sukadeva Goswami, still Sukadeva Goswami is giving this information, knowledge to Mahakrishna. So why? To just emphasize this point that God is great. How great is our God that He's created this. So many permutations, combinations of desires and merits. That is number one. Secondly, this knowledge helps us become less bewildered by Maya. Because we are knowledgeable. When you have knowledge, then you are not bewildered and confused. Because knowledge clears confusion. So we are less bewildered by Maya. Third is, by constantly hearing about this material world and the construct, then gradually, and then it's not just the material world that he's talking about. Maharaj Priyavrata's descendants are also being spoken about in this canto. And each and every descendant is glorious. And many of them are the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Okay. So like Rishabhadeva is coming in the lineage, then obviously Bharat Maharaj is coming, then Jadabharat, the great devotee, both Bharat Maharaj and Jadabharat are great devotees, right? So they are coming in this lineage. And when we start now hearing the pastimes of Rishabhadeva and Jadabharat's conversations with Rahugana, then what happens? Slowly the knot of attachment that we have towards this material world, that knot is slowly removed. So that is called as Hridaya Vritti Abhivedanam. The knot is removed. So therefore we have to hear these sections of Srimad Bhagavatam as much as any kind of it. And then develop also, when you see this Vishalta of the Lord, these kind of things, you know, splendorous things that the Lord is doing, then we have to develop reverence for the Lord. It helps us develop reverence, respect for the Lord, that He is not some ordinary person, like that. Why? Because eventually, after all this, Krishna is hearing Bhagavad Gita. And then we think, oh, this is the same, you know, this is God. Brahmaji is wondering, this person is having curd rice all over his face. And he is just playing with his gopas. And then he is looking, where are my friends? You know, just looking here and there. And the baby is there. Bama, Brahma is saying, sure, cause of all causes. Therefore, we should not go through that doubt when we come to the 10th canto. So that's why all this, don't think he is an ordinary person. So, it is very important to study these cantos with the same enthusiasm and fervor as we study the other cantos. Now, few terms, now little bit of technical, okay, sometimes, okay, then we will extricate ourselves from the technical bits. So, it will help us understand this canto. It's just a very high level overview. So, few terms that are used in this particular canto. One of the terms that we will keep on hearing is dvipa, dvipa, dvipa. This dvip, that dvip, jambu dvip. So dvip means dvipa, a land which is filled, surrounded by water on both sides. Like that. Then we will hear varsha, ilavrta varsha, varsha. Varsha is nothing but a valley which is between two mountains. Like when you go to Grand Canyon in United States, you will see all those valleys on the top. It's a very beautiful sight. You have seen too. In Grand Canyon, and gone twice to Grand Canyon. It was beautiful, one of the best places I've seen. You can see the valley, you know, deep down, means gorges and valleys like that. So dvipa is like valley between two mountains. And then the third thing is unit of measurement. Not centimeter, millimeter, not kilometers, not even miles. It is called as yojanas, unit of measurement. One yojana is said to be 8 miles, which is approximately 13 kilometers, 12 point something. Kilometers. But the measurement is not in yojanas also. The measurement is in millions of yojanas. That is the base. There is 1 million yojanas. That is the measurement. So let us understand, let us try to conceive of this with our limited intelligence. So we are told that there are two conceptions you can have of the Vedic cosmology. The vertical conception and the horizontal conception. The vertical conception is to the front view. Like you remember, we are doing engineering drawing. That time we were taught elevation plan, front view, top view, orthogonal projection. So like that, when you take the vertical conception, if you want to have the universe, then it is said that the universe is egg-shaped. And the universe is filled with waters of the Garbhodaksha. Half the thing is the perspiration of Garbhodaksha Vishnu. And then there is a lotus stem that is coming out. So there is an egg, there is water, half water. Like that. And then there is a stem that is coming out. This is the front view. Okay, if you like. And then there are lotus leaves around the stem. A stem with different lotus leaves. At each plane, you will have leaves. So it's like a, for me, it was easy to conceive when I was studying the fifth canto many years back with Keshav Prabhu. I conceived that as a CD stack. When you have a CD stack, tak, 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 one CD, another CD, another CD. Who was Suha, Maha, Jana, like that. And in the CD, there are several tracks. So I could imagine it better in that way. Okay. So this is the arrangement. And then in the stem, there are 14 parameter systems, like 14 CDs, if you like, to be played, one after the other. Hopefully in our life we don't have to go through all those CDs. CD also means CD, ladder. In Hindi we say CD means ladder. So directly we want to go back to Godhead on this. And then there is a lotus leaf. On top of that CD, if you keep a lotus flower, then that is the Mahaji say. So this is a vertical conception, if you like, at a very high level. And then there is a horizontal conception, for which you have to see it from the top view, elevation. No, not elevation, plan. See from the top. Okay. So there you will now see within one CD, and then we take out one CD and we observe it from the top. How does it look now? So then we will see that we will understand this verse. It has got seven islands and seven oceans. One CD, which is called as the CD of Bhumandal. Like that. And in the center of that Bhumandal is Mount Meru. And it is said that the sun is going around this CD. You like. The sun is going around this Bhumandal, outside like that. And the sun doesn't have this, it just doesn't go like this. It goes like this, then it goes like that, then it goes like that. So that is the trajectory of the sun. Completely opposite to what our scientists are saying. So this is Vedic cosmology. Okay. And obviously, when the temple of Vedic Mandal goes like that, you will be able to obviously get a better visual tree and be able to understand it much more than what you know, our limited senses can tell us now. Now, Maharaj Priyavrat is observing this CD. He is saying, oh, the sun is going like this. But he says, hang on, when the sun is on this side, when it is going like this, round and round and round and round, when it is on this side is dark. And when the sun goes all around and this side is dark. So he is observing like this. Okay. And then he says, this is not good. Everything should be bright. Why one child should be bright and another child should not be? So he is thinking like that. Okay. So therefore, what he does is, I am going to chase the sun now. Okay. And how he is chasing the sun? He is chasing the sun like this. So when he comes here, his chariot gives light. And the sun is giving light. And then when sun has come this side, his chariot is giving. So he is following the sun very well. In that sense, right? Maybe 180 degree apart. That's how I understood it. So he is going round and round, and it is said that his chariot had one wheel. That is what Maharaj Priyavrat chariot had. But he had many such chariots. One wheel. Chariot having one wheel. Okay. And then he said that he does seven circles like that around the woman. One circle, and again, reminding, we are seeing the CD from the top right now. One circle, then another bigger circle, then another bigger circle, then another bigger circle, like that seven times. Okay. So, as he is going, he is doing this, and when he does this, what's happening? He is creating what? Tracks of land. Troughs, if you like. He is creating tracks of land and surrounded by oceans. And then he is going outside, and as he goes outside, it is said that he increases in size. Maharaj Priyavrat increases in size. Okay. He becomes bigger and bigger, so that the innermost radius or diameter, if you like, near Mount Meru, those people are constantly able to see him also. As you go farther and farther, what will happen otherwise is, people can't see. Where is Maharaj Priyavrat? We are saying, I become bigger and bigger in proportion to the diameter that I am from the center, I am going out and out. Yes.
That's what is happening. And obviously, when you know, when you are going outside, outer circle, the circumference is going to increase. Okay, because they are all concentric circles, you are going outside. So when the circumference is going to increase, what's going to, that means that you are traveling more distance now for the next dvipa, if you like, right? And therefore, it is said that in 26 days he has to complete each and everything. That means what, he has to increase his speed, because more distance he is traveling in the same number of days. Therefore, he is traveling faster and faster and faster and faster. No, and then he is going outside and outside. This way. Now it is said that each such each such dvipa is twice the size of the previous one, the innermost one. So it follows 2 raised to the power of 0, 2 raised to the power of 1, 2 raised to the power of 2, 2 raised to the power of 3, and so on and so forth till 2 raised to the power of 6, which is 64. Right? So therefore, the outermost part is 64 times the outermost dvipa of the innermost. And he is also establishing different rulers for each of these concentric circles. And who are these rulers? They are the suns. Okay. So for example, it is said that the innermost Jambudvip is Agni Dhara. Jambudvip is where we are, the innermost. We are most near Mount Meru, if you like. So Earth is somewhere floating around there in Mount Meru. And then inside Earth, we are in Melbourne and in Bank Street. So we can. So it tells us how insignificant we are, and we think our problem and we are very significant, you know. I am. Ishwaram aham bhogi, siddho aham balavan sukhi. I am the controller. Okay? But we are very, very tiny. So it gives us our insignificance. And then what is happening is that in each of these, as he is creating tracts of land, there is liquid also that is coming. Now when you say oceans, our mind says water. No, it is not water, it is liquid. Oceans of different liquids. So it is said that ours is Jambudvip. So we don't have to go far away. If you go to that, seaside and taste the water, what is it? It is salt water. So our ocean is salt water. Okay, no use for us. Water everywhere, not a drop of water to drink. It is said like that. So it's salt water. But outside, if you go to the next circle, that is called as Plakshadvip. And it is sugarcane juice that is available there. Okay. Whenever I had desired sugarcane juice, I go to Bombay. That bhaiya can use that. Passes that sugarcane juice. But if you are too attached to sugarcane juice, then what will happen? Next lifetime will be Plakshadvip. You don't have to even pay. You get free sugarcane juice. So not to get attached to many things. But still it is Ekadashi compliant. So but the next one, the Salmali Dweep, that is not Ekadashi compliant, that is liquor ocean. That is not even DOT compliant, even a non-Ekadashi we cannot take it, right? And then we have, next one is Kushan Dweep, which is clarified water, that ocean is there. And then there is Kraunchan Dweep, which is milk ocean. Then there is Sakar Dweep, which is emulsified yogurt is going around, like that. And then there is finally Pushkar Dweep, which has got sweet drinking water. So the liquids are also different in each of these tracts. And that particular Pushkar Dweep is 64 times, that is 2 raised to the power of 6 times. Like that, it's going out and out and out. So each ruler is a different sun. Each of these dweeps. Escape fever. Dukkhala in Ashashwara. Winter means another problem, summer means another problem. Spring brings summer. What to do? I don't like it because of the garland. But garland is good. Two sides to it. Okay. So each dweep has got a different ruler, son of Manak Priyavartan. And it is said that the diameter, therefore, of the entire Bhumandal, if you take the outermost city, if you measure the diameter, it is 50 million yojanas. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, later on, in the 5th canto, 1st chapter, 39th and 40th verse, if we go, it is said, who can do this but the Lord Himself? Who can do all these things but the Lord Himself? As who? As the Manvantara incarnation.
This is Manu's Priyavrata. Only Priyavrata is Shakti Avesh. So, who can do this? There is no ordinary person can do all these things. So Lord has come this Namantra. Different types of incarnations are there. Purusha Avatara, Leela Avatara, Guna Avatara, like that one is Manvantara. So who can do this except for these kind of incarnations? Now the question is, very interestingly it is said, why the Lord is doing all these things? So much of, you know, Dvipal, why it is required? It is said so that people can live happily without quarrelling with each other. Kali Yuga is full of age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Prayana alpa ayushya sabhya kalavasmi nivejana nanda sumanda mataya nanda bhakya yogatata. It is full of quarrel. Therefore, just to prevent two people from quarreling, Lord is saying, okay, be happy. I'll make a arrangement. You want liquor also? Okay, liquor. Sugar can fellow, okay, come here. Okay, clarified butter, go there. So this is how our Lord is. Okay. So much of pain he is taking just to satisfy the desires. Different permutations or combinations of desires are giving in place. Now, I remember that when I was studying this particular canto, at that time, Kesha Prabhu had said that now we are coming to the most dangerous canto in Srimad Bhagavatam. If you can cross through this canto, retain your faith, then you can go to temple. Why? Yes. Some of us may say, why should our faith go away? That's because Lord has blessed us with that faith. But not everyone. There are many people who leave. I know of someone very close to me who left study of Srimad Bhagavatam after fifth canto. Okay. Saying that, no, I don't believe this. That sugarcane juice can, oceans of sugarcane juice and clarified butter ocean is far out. I don't know. Okay. So I can relate to this. Okay. So our faith is tested. And I realized how true Kesha Prabhu was. And he told us this. Our faith is tested when I am going to 10th canto. Because the outside world, the universities and colleges, they bombard you with material education. And the material education will never tell you all these things. Just imagine. You go to Melbourne Uni and then give a class. There is Jambu Dweep, this, that. Sugar cane juice. No, we will know. Our boss will call, manager will call. Hang on, are you okay? I know it's a pandemic is going on right now. You have been in the home, you are not going out. But I, you know what, the company is happy to sponsor a psychiatrist for you. At company's cost, fully paid for. We value and take care of all our employees. Okay. This is the conversation we have. Little sugarcane juice and clarified butter oceans, right? So, therefore, this is crazy, you will be known as in the outside world. Crazy, if you talk like this. Nevertheless, as devotees, we continue studying with faith. Have we seen sugarcane juice? If you ask me, for me also it will be far out. But I have chosen, all of us have chosen, to with faith. And there is a method behind this madness. We have not chosen out of mere, no, just like that, you know, what to do, the course has to be completed, we have to study Srimad Bhagavatam. No. We still have, thankfully, because of Prabhupada's mercy, because of Lord Chaitanya's movement here, that faith is there. Faith is given by the Lord. We can never take our faith for granted. Never should we take our faith for granted. It can go away in an instant. Lord can bring circumstances in our life, and the faith which we had, he can break tomorrow. It can happen next moment, right? So we should never take our faith for granted. But we should just thank the Lord that yes, you have given me this faith, thankfully. And then you are also revealed to me, the 10th canto, your lotus face. So therefore, all these cantos are purifying. Every canto, Prabhupada said, is one anga of the Lord, one body of the Lord. Prabhupada says, Ganges comes from his lotus feet. Gitamrit comes from his lotus mouth. All these cantos are equally purifying. But still, many times, one may struggle accepting as it is what is given in the fifth canto. For example, when I got revealed at the moment I started fifth canto. Okay. My faith was like that. Okay. Many of you have a very solid faith even after fifth canto. Mine shook. Why? When I started, millions and thousands and thousands of sages assembled and Sukadeva Goswami is sitting. My first thing was, how could they hear him? There was no microphone there. Right? For example, if I start talking with this microphone close, maybe somebody who is just even outside this door cannot hear me. From there you know. Right? So how come? So there itself hate is there. So we don't need this kind of order. So we accept, okay, something must be there. Sukadeva Goswami might have a voice that even the last stage in the balcony seat can also, you know, hear, right? Or what is a dress circle in the theatre, cinema theatre, we have all these things. As you go behind, it's more premium. So therefore, that is tested. Now, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, we will just take a detour to Chaitanya Charitamrita here. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was such a great scholar. Great scholar. In fact, it is said that he was the greatest scholar of his time. Now, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could give 9 different meanings to one verse. Such a great scholar he was. But then when he came in front of Lord Chaitanya, what happened? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard all his 9 translations and gave him 18 more translations to the same thing. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was bewildered. Hang on, what is this going on now? 18 more translations to the 9. And then Sanatana Goswami met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after that. After he went, you know, and met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sanatana Goswami was sitting. And Sanatana Goswami asked the Lord, what is going on? How come you have been able to give him so many more translations? And then in that discussion with Sanatana Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 61 translations more he gave. And then Mahaprabhu says, in response to Sanatana Goswami's question, I don't know how I am giving these translations, but you know that I am a madman. And I know that you are also a madman. So we are all mad people. Okay, to give these translations. So by that, Mahaprabhu is telling that one has to be sufficiently mad to accept all these things. But what kind of madness this is? This is transcendental madness, not the material madness. So a little bit of that madness is required, which comes by the mercy of the Lord. This madness, we accept this madness. Right? This madness actually removes the madness of the material world where we are right now. So, Priyavrata is now going around with creating all these vipas with his chariot, chasing the sun. Don't know, believe this, little bit, it sounds like a fairy tale actually. Okay. It really sounds like a fairy tale, but if we understand the glory of Lord Krishna and the empowerment that he can give, such that if the Lord empowers, nothing is impossible for him. Devotee. If we understand that, then we can retain our faith while studying these sections of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, how to understand this chariot is going, leaving impressions, seas are there, islands are there. Usually, what happens when we, for example, when I am going home, for example, my car leaves some impression, I am going home. And from behind that, what is happening? When I was coming, actually, I saw that. Okay. Talking of impressions, and I was thinking this. And suddenly, you know, I saw this dumper truck in front of me. And I was thinking, will I reach for this lecture? You know, it was going slowly, picking up one dabba, one box after another. You know, the truck, morning, the council truck. So, so as I was going behind, on one hand, I had the anxiety whether I will reach or not. Okay. And then I finally took a quick zoom. I didn't know that it would be there in front of me. But on another hand, I was thinking that, hang on, this dumper truck is giving me a good. Whatever impressions I leave, that fellow will clean from behind. So this is the nature of the material world. But whatever impressions that this Maharaj Priyavrata left, no dumper truck has cleaned it. Because this is the impression made by the Lord. These are the footprints of divinity. So, now in every footprint that he leaves, in those trenches or troughs, there are all these oceans. In fact, not only oceans. As if this is not enough to bewilder us, the ocean of sugar cane, etc. It is said that in higher dvipas, a big giant mango is falling down. And when it hits one of the dvipas, then it becomes an ocean of mango juice. Just imagine, there is no mixer grinder that is required. Bang! All mango juice is there. And then, so it becomes difficult to actually digest. Not the mango juice, but the information. Right, it becomes difficult to digest this. Okay, so you think what's going on here? So Lord therefore clarifies. That's why Rupa said first to study Bhagavad Gita. Then you study Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavad Gita 10.41, the Lord tells Arjun, yet vibhutimat sattvam. He says, Srimad urjitam eva va. Tatta eva avagacchatvam. Mama tejo amsha sambhavam. What does it mean? It says, know, my dear Arjuna, that all these beautiful, glorious and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. This is only a spark of the Lord's splendor. Krishna means all attractive, Bhagavan. So, anything that attracts us, including these descriptions in this material world, are nothing but a spark of his splendor. So there are two responses that one can get when one sees this particular, studies these particular sections: a response of disbelief or a response of attraction. What is it dependent on?
Faith.
So this is the point that we are going to discuss today. So when Arjun also returns from Dwarka, Arjun is very morose. We all know that, first canto of study. And Yudhishthira is asking, Arjun, what happened? Why are you so sad? He is asking Arjun. And he is giving, Yudhishthira is starting to speculate. Have you done something abominable? Even he is saying, did you have some illicit relationship somewhere? He is asking those kind of questions to Arjun. Okay, Arjun is a very sidha-sadha person, straight person. Still he is asking, Yudhishthira is even doubting. Because Arjun is never so disturbed. So, Arjun says, Vanchito aham maharaj harina bandhu rupina yena me apahritam tejo deva vishmapana mahat. He says that Lord Krishna, who treated me exactly like an intimate friend, has now left me alone. He says vanchita aham maharaj. Vanchit in Hindi, he says vanchit kar diya. Vanchit means what? Just left me alone. So separated from me. So Arjun says that Lord Krishna, who treated me exactly like an intimate friend, has now left me alone. Thus my astounding power, the same Arjun, my astounding power which astonished even the demigods. My power which astonished even the demigods is no longer with me now. So here, whatever Maharaj Parikshit is now doing is what is also same. What Arjuna is saying is Deva Vishmapana means that which can even bewilder the great demigod. Even they cannot do all these things, right? So this is astonishing even to the Devatas. Further in that particular dialogue, Arjuna is telling, he enumerates the glorious things which he himself could do before. He says that I have defeated kings who are more powerful than me. I have pierced the eye of the fish. Just through a reflection, I shot the arrow. Impossible. First of all, fish is moving. On top of that, you have to see a reflection and then hit the, and that too you have to hit the center of the eye. Nobody can do it. Even if you take that, who is the world champion in Arjun? I don't know. You call that fellow, nowhere near. Even if you tell him to hit like this, he maybe will not be able to do it. See, and then no, just see and hit just the eye wall. Probably static fish. Possibly not. Right? Not to see a reflection. So he is saying that I have been able to do these wonderful things. Then he not only talks about himself, he says, Bhima was able to kill Jarasandha. Jarasandha was considered to be impossible to defeat. So strong he was. In fact, Jarasandha had defeated 20,000 kings and made them all ready for that. What is that? Kala Bhairava Yajna, Mahabhairava Yajna. To slaughter them. He had kept all of them like that. And then Bhima was able to defeat that person. Arjuna is saying, I crossed in my journey, I was able to pierce through the phalanx of the Kauravas. Much powerful people. My own teacher was there. Dronacharya, Bhishma, he was there. I was able to do all these amazing things just like a child crosses a puddle. So easy things are when Lord empowers you. All that is now withdrawn. I'm thinking, was I the one who could do all those things? I'm thinking like that, Arjun. Now, Arjun's mood also is explained by the Acharya. Arjun is not an ordinary person. He is not just lamenting, oh, my powers have gone away. The politician laments after losing the elections. No, this is not Arjun's mood. Arjun is, in one sense, he's obviously he's a devotee. So his natural emotion is that he is separate from the Lord. So he is lamenting that, but internally he is very happy also in that sense. Why? Because he is getting that happiness from a sense of gratitude. When we have gratitude, then we are happy. Usually when we are unhappy, that means we don't have gratitude to the Lord. So, he was happy and grateful that the Lord used him as an instrument in all these things. And he now is remembering, he is lovingly remembering the Lord and his connection with Lord Krishna. So, these activities of Maharaj Parikshit, when we study as devotees, these activities of Maharaj Parikshit, we see it not only as the spark of splendor of Lord Krishna, yes, that has to be done, but we also see these as an example of Maharaj Priyavrat's commitment to be an instrument of the plan of the Lord, just like Arjun also. And as he is the one who is implementing the Lord's design. The Lord has designed all these things. Jambudvipa and all are all Lord's design. That is not Maharaj Priyavrat's design. Maharaj Priyavrat is simply implementing the Lord's design for this world. Of course, needless to say, Maharaj Parikshit himself is Shakti Arjun, but he is implementing this particular desire of the Lord. So, therefore, we see it like that. And an interesting analogy can be drawn of another person who drove such a chariot and who brought light in those places which are filled with darkness. Who is the personality? Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is also. Did he not drive the chariot? So, Srila Prabhupada, we can think of Srila Prabhupada riding a chariot. The first chariot he used was sea transportation. Jaladurga. Right? Why did Prabhupada say, Prabhupada, look, oh, India, Bharata Bhumi,
Western countries.
Only light on one side.
No light, only darkness in the other parts of the world.
Not fair enough. Krishna consciousness. It is not India only. It is not India only who should be Krishna conscious. The whole world should be Krishna consciousness. So he did sky transportation, land transportation. So many times. How many times Prabhupada circled over the world? 112 times. Okay. So circled round and round Prabhupada is going. Like Maharaj Priyavrat is going. Okay. Tremendous amount of land travel, all of Prabhupada's land travel was not in cars. He did so many morning walks. So much nectar we get from Srila Prabhupada's morning walk conversations. And what did he want to do? Only one mission. He wanted to spread the rays of Krishna consciousness. And he said, this has never touched the Western world. Let me go there and let me convert the hippies into happies. Let me teach mankind how to overcome Maya in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is full of Maya. Maya's maximum influence in Kali Yuga. Let me make it very easy. Let me give them this process to the whole world. How anybody who takes to the process of this Krishna consciousness can overcome this Maya. So, when we look back at this pastime of Prabhupada, to us it will seem as splendorous, or probably more splendorous, than what Maharaj Priyavrata did here. Srila Prabhupada was once, someone invited a magician, came in front of Prabhupada doing some magic. Okay. So the magician was doing a lot of tricks. So the magician started removing some of these magicians. I remember when I was a child, one magician had come to my building and then he removed something from behind my ear. Okay. And from my pocket he removed $1 coin, and I was the what you call the guinea pig, if you like. Okay. So this, because I was young and I was not protesting, so they made me sit on that chair as an experiment. So then he was using me all along. I was a little bit scared. So he was removing things from everywhere, right? Making objects appear, then again these things disappear. He was doing all these things. So I could see that, so when I studied this section and when I heard about this pastime of Prabhupada, that this magician could make things appear as well as disappear. So he did this with Prabhupada also. He took something from behind Prabhupada's ear and all that. And the devotees are after some time feeling a little bit uncomfortable. Okay, because obviously saintly personality should not be used for as a guinea pigs, okay, for this. So it's inappropriate dealing with a senior devotee to do this. Okay. So therefore, after he finished, Prabhupada asked him, "So you are magician?" Said, "Yes." "So you can make objects appear and disappear?" "Yes." "Okay. Can you make birth, disease, old age and death disappear from this world?" Magician said, "No." Prabhupada said, "But I can. I am that magician." So Prabhupada said, "I am that magician. I can." And actually, Srila Prabhupada gave us how to escape birth, disease, old age and death. The magical power, the mystic power of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Not only is it not as simple as just escaping birth, disease, old age and death, he has changed our natures from rascals to little rascals. At least for me and for you. Little bit little rascal. From big rascal. And it has happened, the holy name has like that. So, not only that, Prabhupada has given us love of God through his teachings, by which that Lord who is otherwise Sudurlabha is very rarely obtained, can be obtained in this very lifetime. Prabhupada said, "You just follow this 16 round chant very attentively, follow 4 regulative principles, you can go back to Godhead. You don't need to do any more sarkas. And deal with Vaishnavas nicely. Avoid the Nama aparadhas. Avoid Seva aparadhas. Just do this and then it doesn't matter whether you are a Grihastha or a Sannyasi or Brahmachari. You will go back to God." So, Prabhupada did not even have to lecture to do all these things. It is said that many people simply became devotees at Prabhupada's glance. They just saw Prabhupada's glance at the surrender. People are falling at his feet. More amazing, right? Creating trust in the material world is still material in one sense, if you see. It's a great splendor of material. But changing someone's consciousness, okay, who is adamant, who is nitya baddha, to transport them back to the spiritual world, that is an equally big miracle of Srila Prabhupada. So, and many of these people who Prabhupada delivered from the lowest platform, they have become spiritual leaders today. Who are changing again their lives of so many people. So whatever tracks Prabhupada created, they are creating further tracks. That is why we call it as Bhakti Vriksha. It is going on and on. It's opening. The whole world is getting inundated with the holy name. But if we remain in dull consciousness, then we cannot appreciate this miracle that Srila Prabhupada does. And with that dull consciousness, we cannot appreciate these pastimes also. Therefore, Shastric study is required. One of the 12 aims of Shastric study, which all of us will get, you know, when we do some Shastric course, is what? Kapfet marks. Knowledge, understanding, reaching application, personal application, mood and mission, authority. So one of that is what? MARS. S is what? Shastra Chakshu. To be able to see everything from the lens of the Shastras. So unless we develop our Krishna consciousness by systematic study backed up with good chanting, okay, then what will happen? If we don't do this, our intelligence will not get purified. Our intelligence will see everything through the material lens and we will not be able to appreciate all these things, okay, through our material education. Therefore, study we are advised by our seniors that we have to develop Shastra Chakshu through study of these Shastras. Every canto must be respected. Otherwise, by the time we come to the fifth canto, what will happen? We will still see it through the perspective of our material lens. And therefore, many times people will leave their study after fifth canto. Like that. Or directly some people may see fifth canto. Just imagine, if you just read fifth canto to somebody, especially those sections, somebody will say, what are you into nowadays? They'll ask you. Like that. Okay. So, one may wonder, why is now Parikshit Maharaj, who has got 7 days to live, asking about Bhumandal? So, we discussed some aspects earlier, but the important point to understand is, he wants to just to understand how the Lord has empowered his devotee to create the material world. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is just not about the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam is about the devotees of the Lord also. Therefore, this is a sign of the advancement of Maharaj Parikshit, that he is asking these questions even when there are only 7 days to live.
Because he is interested in knowing whoever and whatever is connected with Lord Krishna. So he is asking this question. So when we see everything in this particular world, when we see every, even the material energy in connection with the Lord, then actually we will realize that there is nothing called as material energy. We are studying the same thing, and I was saying Bhagavad Bhakti Vaibhav, we are studying 2.9 answers by citing the Lord's version, and in that we, you know. So before that we have the Chatushloki also coming, sorry, 10th chapter. In the 9th chapter we have the famous Chatushloki, where it is said, Vidyaratam vit pratiyeta na pratiyeta cha atmani tad vidya atmano maya yatha vashuryata sama. Please understand that whatever you see that does not have a relationship to me, that is maya, the reflection of light in darkness. So therefore, the Bhagavatam reminds us that at the end of the day, there is, you know, you will only see something as material if you cannot understand its connection with Krishna. You will only see a canto as dealing with the material energy if you cannot understand the higher connection that it is making of you with Krishna. So that's why it is said, Sarvam Kalam Idam Brahma. Everything is Brahman at the end of the day. In one corner of the spiritual sky there is Pradhan, there is a dark cloud, and from there the entire material manifestation comes. So Maya is that of which we cannot see the relationship to the Lord. Now, sometimes when we preach, we may not be able to tell all these things to our people. So in our Bhakti Risha program, sometimes to give faith about this canto, someone comes and argues on this, we tell them, sorry, I know, forget about all these things. Just observe the sun. Can you look at the sun at least? Because it is in front of your eyes right now. Right? Forget about all these things. Lands, Jambudvip, okay. Forget about what you can't see. But what you can see, still, is it not a spark of splendor? Why? Because, and an example is when we are landing. For example, when many times when we come back from to Melbourne, sometimes we take a night flight, and we just landing in the morning in Melbourne. Right? So, as we are approaching Melbourne, they say, okay, all of you please fasten your seat belts, we are about to commencing our landing and blah blah. And from far away, what happens? Still the sun has not risen. It's dark. But what you can see? You can see as Melbourne is approaching, you can see the entire of Melbourne, what to speak of, the entire Victoria. Okay? You can see as small lights everywhere. Right? Now, to generate this particular light, how many wattage of energy is required? To illuminate a whole country. Can you imagine that? That much wattage of power required every day. And even after all that wattage of power from the sky, what can you see? Small dots. Which tells you probably Victoria, Australia or Melbourne is coming. That's all it can tell you. You can't see anything beyond that, right? But as you come closer and the sun has not even risen. Some light. It is just started to rise. You can't even see the sun. Just a small sun rays of the morning. And then what happens? Suddenly you can see everything. Small houses, this, that. So many things you can see. You can start seeing the land. Which all that wattage of power together cannot enable us to see. And then when the sun is fully risen, not to speak of, you know, you can see everything very clearly. Right? So therefore, the question now is, what kind of wattage and power does this sun have? What kind of battery is making the sun go on and on, giving the same amount of light year on year, decades after decades, lifetime after lifetime of us since time immemorial? So if someone simply understands this, he can understand that no scientist can create this sun. There is nothing that can. So we don't have to even convince people like this. We can even convince, you know, seeing ordinary phenomena. Pratyaksha avarnam dharmya. You can see direct experience, you can experience the things in this world, oxygen. So we can see. So by that we can probably be able to convince someone. In the there is an interesting verse also in Srimad Bhagavatam. In Brahma Samhita, which says, Yachakshuresa Savita Sakala Brahmana Raja Samasta Suramurti Rashesha Tejaha Yasyas Nayam Brahmati Samudra Kala Chakro Govindamani Purusham Tamam Vajami. What is the translation? The sun, who is the king of all the planets, full of infinite effulgence. the image of the good soul and is the eye of this world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey, mounting the wheel of time. So the same Lord who's created this sun and who's creating all these big things, in the 10th canto he comes as a baby, and then when we hear all these things, and then when we come to the 10th canto and say Shakatasura demon came on a cart. But the Lord Vasudeva could not know where his baby was. Somehow the baby had crawled out, and with a small kick, touch of his toe, he killed. And that time, how touch of a toe, demon can be killed and all that. At least some punch fighting has to be there. It's such a powerful demon. But no, why? Because we have gone through all these cantos. That is why Prabhupada said, study Srimad Bhagavatam in sequence. Do not jump to the past time, even very, very past times of the Lord. Otherwise, what will happen? He will think that what is this going on? Well, this is too much far out. Like that. In fact, I was hearing some speculator has commented that Krishna never lifted Govardhan. What happened actually was that he took all these people into a cave and then he just kind of moved a rock and everyone was safe inside the cave. This is speculation, this is nonsense. Right? Because why? Because there is no study that has happened, there is no faith. Don't understand who is the Lord. Now, in this world, we see that when an ordinary person does extraordinary things, how does it happen? Wow, great. When a sportsman, ordinary person, small boy in India, Sachin Tendulkar, okay, when he does extraordinary things, you know, the highest run getter in the history of cricket, okay, then everyone says, oh my god. Nowadays in India, pandemic is going on, people are dying, but people are watching IPL, Indian Premier League cricket. Everybody, and I'm getting, even from my family, I'm getting all these chat messages. Absolute waste of human life, you know, in pursuing all this. Death is coming, they are seeing here and there, society, people are dying all around them, but still watching all these things. Difficult to, you know, die. And thankfully we are in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you would also be sitting. As long as the COVID doesn't come to me, let me be happy watching Netflix or, you know, watching internet and watching movies or cricket. So, therefore, now, but then why do we watch all these things? Because they see ordinary human beings do extraordinary things and they like to watch. Right? So when ordinary people do extraordinary things, yes, something is great about those ordinary things, but when a super extraordinary person comes and does ordinary things akin to a human being, that is even more extraordinary than an ordinary person doing extraordinary things. Then those are the nervous pastimes of the Lord. So till we reach 10th canto, we are recommended by Srila Prabhupada to study these sections with faith. Systematically study under a teacher and develop an understanding of how powerful our Lord is, how extraordinary Lord Krishna is. I will conclude the class with one quote from Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela 2.117. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, he says, Siddhanta Bariya Chitta Na Kara Alas. Siddhanta Bariya Chitta Na Kara Alas. Alas means what? Laziness. Don't do alas. Siddhanta Bariya Chitte Na Kara Alas. Iha Hoite Krishne Lage Shruddha Manas. Shruddha Manas. So what does he say? A sincere student should not neglect the discussions of such conclusions. Considering them controversial. Do not consider them as controversial, for such discussions strengthen the mind. Na kara alas, do not be lazy to study these sections. Don't say, I'll just skip through these things. Krishna is coming now. No, the 10th canto. No, that should not be. Then we will never understand Krishna. We have to go through everything, because then we are ignoring one body of the Lord and saying, no, this body is not important, my dear Lord. I have decided that. No, we can't decide that. Thus, Krishna Swarupa Goswami says, if you do this systematic study, one's mind becomes attached to Sri Krishna. We develop proper sentiments gradually. We develop proper sentiments, and by developing proper sentiments, we don't become sentimental when it comes to the 10th canto. So, Srila Prabhupada therefore always said, religion without philosophy is what? Sentiment. And philosophy without religion is mere sentiment. That's mere speculation. Prabhupada said that. So when we know the greatness of our Lord, then our love for the Lord increases. We develop sentiments which are transcendental, not mundane sentiments. These are transcendental sentiments we can develop even when studying these sections, because they are not mundane. Prabhupada said, books are the basis. Books are the basis, and by studying each and every canto which painfully Prabhupada has given us with faith, we too can develop such advanced sentiments for the Lord. Stop here. Rudraksham Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments or questions? Yes.
Can I have the mic, please?
You can use big.
It's okay. Thank you for your class. Prabhu, when Devaki Maharaj followed the sun, so originally we thought it was on the plane of the sun's orbit. But it looks like it's on Bhumandala.
Who is Bhumandala?
Devaki Maharaj.
Yes, he was in Bhumandala. In today's conversation, yes. Yes.
Okay. So did he go on the sun's orbit and sun plane as well, or?
Yeah, because I that's my understanding, okay? But how I infer that today, okay? And I should not be speculating in the class, but it is mentioned that the sun planet is not for Bhumandala only. The sun also caters to the higher two, what is it? Bhuvaswara. The sun caters to all the three. That is what is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. So I am assuming that Maharaj's jurisdiction would have been more than Bhumandala. I am assuming that, but I will be corrected by, I don't know, Gopal is Jewish, unfortunately not here, otherwise you could have asked him. But Madhuri, if you all know, then we are Jewish.
Okay, question is more basic. In order to divide,
yes,
to make a track,
yes,
it has to be on the surface of Bhumandala and the sun is above. So it would be not directly on the orbit, but
okay, so you're asking which plane was relative plane there are moving. You're talking about the planarity, co-planarity of the chariots. I don't know.
It's hard to answer questions on this topic.
Yeah, this fifth canto is very difficult to answer any questions. Any canto is difficult for me, but fifth canto is impossible. Okay, so yeah, so we just accept. But sorry, I'm not really able to answer. I apologize for that. But if this question is important, then we can check with Namu Maharaj. Namu Maharaj is an authority on this. But of course, even our local devotees, many of them can. So many meet other proposals to go, someone maybe they can guide lovers. Yeah. Yes, Namu.
I was thinking, the point when you mentioned the importance of studying every book and giving the importance to each one of them. And based on that, with that principle, I was also trying to appreciate the value of Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna himself is describing, for example, his creation, what it's actually the purpose in himself, and it's very basic and insightful at the same time when you mention the. When Krishna studies one is part of his energy, creating energy, to emphasize how big, how incredible, beyond our understanding his power is. So if we base our understanding in that with that principle, so it will be easy for us to increase of the quality of our faith, understanding these contents like difficult for signs or things like that. So how to grab that constant understanding, this basic principle that Krishna himself established in Bhagavad Gita, so then we can understand we can get a proper understanding of these topics.
So can you summarize that question to me?
Because Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita established those principles about the laws of this.
Yeah, so what is the question? Exact question? Sorry, I lost the question.
How we can grab those principles and see those study the Shastras or get this understanding of this knowledge.
Yes.
With the proper perspective, with the with
okay. So how can you understand the knowledge, all this knowledge in the proper perspective?
Personally
for me, okay, and I can tell based on my experience. Personally for me, studying the Srimad Bhagavatam under a devotee has helped me rather than studying Srimad Bhagavatam on my own. For example, when I was in Toronto before I came to Melbourne, 2003-2004, we were in Canada. So at that time then we got the opportunity to study, do a Bhakti Shastri course with His Holiness Bhakti Brihad Bhagavat Swami. So and then I realized that I had dabbled with Srila Prabhupada's books even before. A lot of Prabhupada's books I used to read one after the other, in around 1999-2000, the small books of Prabhupada, Beyond Birth and everything. But and even Bhagavad Gita I skimmed through. But when I studied under a devotee, senior devotee, then for me it made more sense. And then obviously when we study under a devotee, then not only the knowledge which that devotee gives you, but the faith of that devotee and the life of that devotee also has got a bearing on us. So when I saw, for me personally then, when I saw Bhakti Bhagavad Swami Maharaj's life, then that faith also added to my conviction about whatever I was studying. Okay, because it is Prabhupada said, it is not only the book Bhagavad, it is the person Bhagavad also is very, very important. Similarly, from 2005 when I came to Melbourne, I was very fortunate that at that time Kesha Prabhu had decided to anchor the Bhakti Vaibhav degree course. So which myself and my wife, we both enrolled into that. And studying under Kesha Prabhu, not only Kesha Prabhu gave us a very reasonably good rigor of, his exams are not easy, right? So he gave us a good rigor of Srimad Bhagavatam. But also when I was observing my teacher, Kesha Prabhu, I was seeing that this man, how much sacrifice he is doing. He is investing twice, 2 days of his week, every night, coming here and then giving Srimad Bhagavatam. And that time Kesha Prabhu was living here, near the temple. But Kesha Prabhu was then given the responsibility of the farm. From the farm, he used to come, every week he used to come down from the farm. If you ask him to do that, I would be limited. So much distance, and that time the roads are also not so safe like it is now. That there was one, there was only two, so the traffic used to go. And even when I went to the farm, those days I used to get scared. Okay, that what can happen. But Kesha Prabhu came every week just to teach, and he told, what keeps me going, is just the enthusiasm of all of you to study Srimad Bhagavatam. So when you study under such a teacher, then it is not just what Lord is telling, but we are seeing what is sacrifice of a person who is coming just to give this knowledge to others. And then there are so many things. You see the greatness of Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir, where Adnayur Prabhu has established this robust education system. Both Adnayur Prabhu and Achyutapur Mataji. Achyutapur Mataji is also very, through her, because of her, because of their lives, in one sense. And Achyutapur Mataji's perfection for cleanliness, for establishing, everything should run properly. Even our education today has, gone into so many other areas also, like deity worship standards. Everything is being followed so nicely in our temple. Our temple is a good example for, in ISKCON. Okay. So, when you come under the shelter of such a ecosystem of people, infrastructure, processes, and the Shastras coupled by it, then all this together gives, and the loving devotees in this congregation, the brahmacharis, the grahasthas, then you kind of understand, you see Krishna's presence everywhere while studying any verse of Srimad. So that is how best I can answer
that. Yes, and I have to thanks to you, because one thing that I realize is I did this study with you, and I think I'm doing BNG in Vrindavan 4 years ago. And the topics that you talked today, the way, especially the points, the way how you presented is quite revealing, it's new for me. I study with a different perspective, it made me realize that it's always more deeper and deeper. It's not enough just one time, it has to be more. I'm just saying the devotees who are given for
the revealed. Yeah, true.
So I'm grateful with you for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Venkatachalam Bhagavatam ki
jaya.
Prabhupada ki
jaya.
Jayantaya Guru.